Father, we are here this morning for you. We are here to lift you up and to thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Father, for your activities last week on Resurrection Sunday, speaking into all of our lives and especially into the lives of some who are looking for you to draw them into your own family. What a glorious thing to have been able to watch a portion of that. Father, you have a message for us. You have an introduction for us today to meet one of your kids way back in the first century, who has much to show us in the 21st century. And I pray, Father, that our hearts are confessed, that we are repentant of anything that has been troubling during the week, and that your Holy Spirit will now open our spiritual ears, and that he will bring a word of encouragement to us, that we will sense your wonderful, unconditional love, that we will be responsive to your Spirit's leading in our lives as we go forward. So speak to us, Father, through your Spirit, for we ask it in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, we're beginning chapter 16. These first 10 verses are going to take today and next Sunday to unpack, but there are some things here for us to be reminded of, other things for us to maybe be working on if we have an area of weakness, because he would like very much to meet with you, as he has been meeting with me, to draw me to himself and want to help others by being a blessing in their lives. So if you're new with us this morning, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to really meet you other than Sue's son, and it's good to have both of you here with us. But if there are other newcomers in our midst this morning, in your message notes on the front page, we have what my church family has heard time and time again. We have three essential questions. Oftentimes you have guys like me, they stand behind a pulpit or a lectern or just walk around the stage and they share things, but by the time Monday morning rolls around, what was shared wasn't remembered. Made no difference that they had been to church, so to speak, to hear a message from him. So it's important that the message today, which I've titled Timothy Joins Paul and Silas in Galatia. We've already been together with Paul and Barnabas and their missions core value team, and we've gone some distance into a faraway land that has anybody in their lifetime been to Turkey? Well, we have one who's been with us. Were you with Paul and Barnabas? No. But she is a grandmother.
In her first life.
So it's a land that I haven't been to. I've been to the Middle East, but that was not one of the countries I visited. It's a Muslim country, but it used to be Christian. And something happened in the churches there years and years ago to where Islam would overpower them. And the same thing can happen right here if you and I and the rest of our brothers and sisters and other church families are not responsive to the Holy Spirit and up to doing those wonderful things that He would like to see us out and about doing. But at any rate, these questions, these essential questions, are very, very helpful. I know they are to me as I go through the scriptures and ask them. It helps the scriptures to come more and more alive because it is a living, active word of God as we have come to understand it. So these questions will help you to remember more of the Holy Spirit's message directly to you. Not so much what I might add from various experiences I've had with some of you or my own that become illustrative of the text, but it's an opportunity for you to really walk away having taken something of eternal value with you by using these questions as the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. So let's look at the first 10 verses and set a context for ourselves to walk in and to learn, and then see what we need to do corporately, or you need to do, as I have found some things for me, to do individually. It begins here with Paul, you know, my former pastor, he did a whole Sunday evening, and he didn't teach for 40 minutes or so. He taught for an hour, and he taught for a whole hour on one word, Paul. He is an amazing man, alive with the Lord. But anyway, here we see Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. So this is where your map number one becomes very important to you. You can begin bouncing back and forth to that map number one. You can see there Derbe and Lystra. We'll begin over here, and here you have Derbe, and then you have Lystra. And bearing in mind that Paul and Silas and that missions core value team, they're walking. They've got their sandals on, and they're getting ready for blisters. Blisters on top of blisters. But they're walking. They're not doing what Barnabas and his cousin, John Mark, did. We see John Mark and Barnabas, and they come down and come across here to Cyprus. They take a ship over there, and we don't really know if they go on and visit in the route that they originally went with Paul to plant churches, or if that was the end of it, that they were going to be simply preaching the good news of the gospel again on Cyprus, all over the island, and coming back into what we know to be Syria and teaching there. But we have Paul and Silas, and they came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy. A disciple is this mathetes that we have studied that term in years and in months past. Disciple doesn't mean simply someone like you right at this moment sitting and learning. Some of you filling in the blanks and going to be taking notes. The disciple does that, so to speak, But the disciple also then takes what he or she has learned and applies it in her life and uses it the way the Holy Spirit shows him or her, so that the word goes forth and is a blessing to other people. Now, other people may not receive it as a blessing, but it is a blessing from God nonetheless. But we go forth and we fulfill our calling to share the living, active word with these folks. So here we have Timothy, and he is a mathetes. He is a disciple. He takes up his cross daily. He identifies with Jesus daily. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. And we all know that the early church was all Jewish people. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, a non-Jew. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Timothy is an amazing young man. He is a young man who's been touched early in his life by God the Holy Spirit, and he has given his life in fullness. Again, it says he is well spoken of by the brothers in these other two cities. And you'll recall, Paul and Barnabas and the missions team they planted churches there for sure, but then the rest of the pagan populace, they ran them out of town. They didn't want them to stay. But Timothy, because it says here that he is well spoken of, that means they saw the brothers and sisters, our Christian brothers and sisters, they saw in Timothy what they should see in you and in me. They should see the Spirit's fruit, active, growing in us. They should see in you and me as being men and women, young people, who are blessings in the lives of other people. We find ourselves demonstrating that unconditional love of which Jesus loves us. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor the same way. And Jesus would come along in John's gospel and he would tell us, I want you run. I want you all to love each other as I have loved you. Now, he's not talking to the world of people, he's talking to mathetes, children of God, the disciples. We are to show these people that we not only love them unconditionally, but we have this sense of joy, even in the midst of some of the most horrid times. It's been difficult to watch Kathy go through the removal of a tumor, and then to watch her, you know, break her arm. I didn't watch her break her arm, but she goes and breaks her arm. But to have a sense of joy. The Lord is with us, and as we've been asked a couple of times, why is God letting these things happen to you? I mean, first he takes Ronnie from you, and now there are these serious other things. And I said, the thing you have to remember is this. He loves us. He loves us more than anyone else on the face of this globe loves us. Now, we may not understand these terrible things that come into our lives. But nonetheless, the truth of the matter is, he loves us. And there must be a plan for it all. I know in watching my wife to live with her through the death of Ronnie, and to live with her through the removal of the tumor. And now, this broken arm. I have learned from her, I would do well to have her attitude, because she has a phenomenal, almost unbelievable for someone like me, attitude. She is a tremendous example to your shepherd. Whew. She is an amazing gal. An amazing gal. So Timothy, he's been observed. He is full of God's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, forgiveness, humility, meekness. And a young man that I guess that came alongside a number of those people. He was a blessing, in other words, just as I can be if I will rely on the Holy Spirit day by day in my life, moment by moment. If I have memorized the way I'm to be conducting myself. He's an amazing young man, this Timothy. So Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him, and for all of his reward, he gets circumcised. Circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I'll explain all that in more detail to you, because you would think, well, what about the Jerusalem Council and the decisions that were made there? You'll understand next time, most likely. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that were made, that had been made, that had been reached by the apostles, who would have been Peter, James, John for sure, at the Jerusalem Council, and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they increased in number daily. Part of the job, I don't think he would have thought it as such, but part of his ministry was to visit the churches they'd been to before going and planting new ones, but to build up these churches that had been planted. They were young. They didn't know all of the things you know. They didn't have the Word of God in a Bible, in a book, a love letter yet. It was all in process. They learned by... They had to be auditory learners and to hold these things in their mind and in their hearts. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, how to live out the Word of God. And they increased in number daily. Isn't that interesting? These young churches, by applying the little bit that they know into the hands of the Holy Spirit through their lives, people are coming to faith in the Lord in numbers. The churches are growing in population. That's not the case in America. I wonder why. Now, in verse 6, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. You can look at your maps and you can find those there for you. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. We have no sense that the Holy Spirit has come to the churches in America and said, don't tell the rest of America. Keep quiet. I want you all to be secret Asian Christians. That's not the case for us. The Holy Spirit did forbid Silas, Timothy, and Paul, however, from entering certain areas with the gospel. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. What's going on? So passing by Mysia, they went to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia, if you'll go to the far left and upper corner of your map, number one, you'll see Macedonia. It's modern day Greece. A man in Macedonia was standing there, urging Paul, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and share this good news about Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin, and how we might have a relationship with him and know that our sins are forgiven and go and be with him in that moment when he calls us heavenward. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, you just can't stop this guy. You want to talk about Jesus? He wants to talk about Jesus. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, we sought to go on into Macedonia. Did you notice something peculiar here? It's a two-letter word. We. Why don't you circle that in your notes? We. Immediately, we sought to go on in the Macedonia. He doesn't have a mouse in his pocket. He wrote this down because something has just transpired. I have read this passage, I don't know how many times, but in preparation for us, the Holy Spirit pointed out, there's a transition here. Concluding that God had called not we, but us, to preach the gospel to them. So, keep that map close by, because we're really on a travel log for much of our study here. But you'll see 99% of the places that we're going to go with Paul, Silas, Timothy, and their missions core value team. Paul and Silas now are traveling west. They're traveling west, probably across the Taurus Mountains. If you look at your map, number one, and follow that arrow that starts there at start and end of journey, follow that arrow and we go up here to Tarsus, Paul's hometown, and through Cilicia and moving towards Derbe, you'll see up above Galatia, and the letter to the Galatian churches, that letter is to all the churches in Galatia. It was to be passed around. It isn't a simple one letter to one church, such as we see in Thessalonica or in Philippi or in Corinth. But as we look here, going back to the you see where it says Antioch, and you come up here, and you're going to go through this mountain range. And it's partially man-made, going through the Tarshish Mountains. They go through a pass called the Cilician Gates. And what I found interesting with regard to going through these gates is that Alexander the Great, some four centuries before, he brought his massive army, not west, but eastward, through that same pass, through that same gate, as they moved into conquer the Persian Empire, four centuries, as I said earlier. The route that Paul and Silas and Timothy have taken led them through what was the old kingdom of Antiochus. Antiochus, if you would show that photograph, please. This is the last emperor, if you will, of the kingdom of Antiochus. But now the kingdom is under the Roman Empire. They proceeded now on into the Lycaonian Galatia region, first the Derbe and then to Lystra. Lystra is the home of Timothy. So the subtitle we have here as we forge along is that what happens when doors close? Think about your own life. When something important was happening in your life and the door shut. Maybe you have had the experience I've had. The door was slammed in my face. I've written there for you, it's hard to imagine how a closed door can be a gift. A gift from Father God. I'm not referring to personal tragedy, such as a bankruptcy, divorce, the death of a loved one, terminal illness, or some other form of evil. Father God will use those events in your favor if you belong to Him. That's not what I mean by a closed door. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it's probably memorized by most of you, where he says, "And we know that all things, good and bad, all things work together for good to those who love God." The translation here, "And we know that for those who love God," and that's agape family, that is that wonderful, godly, unconditional love. Those of us who love Him that way, we will sacrifice whatever for Him. For that's the way He loves you and me. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. A gracious fact. Father God never, never causes evil. Ronnie's death was not an evil act by the part of our Heavenly Father. That was an act of a person not paying attention to the road. And has an accident killed our son. Our Heavenly Father loved Ronnie and took Ronnie to be with him after he had been away from our Father for so long. But 3.5 years before he took him, he had given his life back to him. God never causes evil. The tumor growing in Kathy's body. If it's there by the cause of any one evil person, well, then that's Satan. He's been trying to destroy Kathy's and my ministry among you and other places from the time we started. He has worked very hard at destroying this ministry. But we continue to stand up in his power because he loves Kathy. He didn't give her, I don't mean any denigrating Kaiser doctors, but he didn't give us a Kaiser doctor. I mean, when you check the medical whelps, I don't have any doctors. She doesn't have any doctors that have 5 whelps, 5 stars. But as it worked out, going to a hospital that wasn't Kaiser, he gave her one of the best doctors who had 5 whelps, who was a tremendous doctor who had done many of these surgeries.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And I don't know if there was a territorial demon at our house that Saturday and tripped her. You know, life happens. Life happens. But we have Kaiser, and we could go to an emergency room, and they could x-ray and see what the problem was, and they began to take care of her. Father God never causes evil. He does, however, open and close opportunities. He opens and closes opportunities to accomplish his purpose in individual lives and in the grand scheme of history. And history, bear in mind, because of the way the English spell it, it is his story. It's all about him. It's all about him, your life and my life. It's all about him. From the time I've shared with many of you that I was 3 years old, I wanted to be a police officer. And at a family Christmas party, anything but Christian, at a family Christmas party, all 3 of my law enforcement uncles and my law enforcement grandfather were there. These 4 guys were my heroes. My heroes. My dad, he was a fire captain, and that was his problem. At the academy when I graduated, I've told you, some of you, this too. He came up, my dad, and gave me a big hug. And he said, you know, son, when kids are little, they love policemen. They love firemen. But when they're all grown up, they still love firemen. So I would eventually get to be a police officer. Unfortunately, I loved the job more than I loved him who provided it for me. And so there would be an accident, an injury on the job that would fracture a couple of vertebrae and would take 3 years to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But after the first year, mechanically unstable back, you're not coming back to the job. That's what you call a door being slammed in your face. That's all I wanted to be from age 3. All I wanted to be. Loved it more than, Kathy would say, loved it more than I loved her and the kids. And looking back, I think I did love it more than them. So he slammed the door. And 3 years later, and 67% totally disabled and never going to be allowed to go back to what I wanted to be. But he had another plan. He had another plan. He has a plan for our individual lives in the grand scheme of history. He wanted me to be a curse upon you. And I've enjoyed that too.
Your blessing, Pastor.
Oh, well, don't talk to Annette or Eugene. They may convince you to think otherwise. As I went through those 3 years, so I'm kind of just sharing a bit about my own experience here, thinking about when doors are open and doors are closed. Life appears barren, wasted, hopeless. Emotionally, we feel set aside, forsaken, overlooked, even abused. Even so, a closed door can be a wonderful expression of Father God's love. He called me to this 43 years ago. And it's been hard, but also a tremendous, wonderful expression of God's love upon Kathy's and my life. The first part of Paul's missionary journey is a story of open doors. He had spent the last several months telling churches in Samaria, Phoenicia, and Syria about how the Lord had opened doors of faith to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. The church was Jewish, and it's been a door been opened to Gentiles on that first journey. In Acts 14, verse 27, the Holy Spirit reveals to us again this morning, and when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, all that had taken place. They've been on a massive journey. Much had taken place there that I will reveal to you momentarily. And how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. If that door hadn't been open, unless there's more than one Jewish person here this morning, none of us would have heard the gospel. But because he opened the door to Gentiles way over there on that side of the world, you and I would eventually come to faith in the Lord. In Acts 15:3, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversation of the Gentiles. The conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. The council at Jerusalem had affirmed the ministry and given him written confirmation of the gospel. Grace alone, through Jesus the Christ alone, by faith. That is how we come to God, forgiven of our sins and repentant. His home church in Syrian Antioch enthusiastically commissioned him for another journey. The first leg of the journey took him through the familiar territory of Syria and Cilicia, where people knew him and welcomed his teaching. So if you give me that next map, here's a little more close-in map that I'd like to share with you. Over here you have the Tyrus Mountains, and you can check on your own maps and your worship guides. Here you have mountain ranges. Here you have another mountain range. And this is the first pass that Silas and Paul and their team would go through. And they would then be coming up from here through this pass here and following this up into Eastern Asia. I just like us to understand that we're not just reading a book, that it's the Word of God, and he shares with us. I mean, this is tough stuff that this core value team is going through. I mean, again, sandals, walking the great distances, going through the mountains. After passing through the Taurus Mountains, Paul enjoyed reconnecting the churches. And he and Barnabas had previously planted in Derbe and in Lystra, as well as Iconium. He'd even found a promising young student, Timothy, who was eager to learn about ministry. When you find those kinds of individuals, those guys or gals, they're diamonds. They're more than platinum. They're diamonds. You find so many, you know, they say that they have prayed to receive the Lord in their lives. And I hope so. But they go over here in this amphitheater, and they sit in the chairs. Now, granted, parking's probably cost a lot of money back then, but they go into the amphitheater of faith, and that's where they sit. They're spectators. The church in America is filled with spectators. You know, we're not a very big church, but we are a very active church family. We are over the map, and you are involved in so many different ministries. I am like a proud papa when I can brag about one of you, two of you, 10 of you doing something really special for the Lord. So much fun. Can you imagine what it would be like if this mega church up here, you know, along Rinaldi, and this other mega church down here in Sun Valley, and this mega church up on the mountain road, if they were to tell their people from now on, if you want to come here, you have to be involved in a core value team. You have to go to work for the Lord. Because you see, these mega churches become places for the spectator Christian. I haven't found a place in here yet. I've been through various translations. I can't find it in the Greek or the Hebrew that any Christian is to be a spectator. But those mega churches, they're like Costco's. They're giant warehouses. You see people going in. You see people coming out. But very few of them going and serving the Lord. I remember the church that sent me out was over in Sun Valley. And when Kath and I were first married, in Christianity Today, a magazine that has lost its prowess, if you will, for being Christian. Back then, they did an article on my former home church. And it said, 900 ministers. Up to the population of 900, they had multi-ministries, and the majority of the people were all involved in those ministries. Involved. Sharing the gospel, loving on people, being a blessing in people's lives. I thank you for being a blessing in so many people's lives. Thank you. I love you very, very much. I'm looking forward to the day that all of us are involved in a core value team, and we are pushing our leaders to be involved even more and planning more and praying together, getting together, just to pray about what does the Holy Spirit want us to do more this year for His glory. So he found this promising student, Timothy, who was eager to learn about the ministry. And then doors slammed shut. The door slammed shut. Observation. Of all the challenges Paul had overcome, robbers, enemies, illness, rejection, stoning, idolatry, the hardship of closed doors. Imagine for a guy like him, he didn't want to be in the amphitheater sitting down. He wanted to be down on the playing field and moving. He wanted a team, and he had a team. And they wanted to be moving. They wanted to be doing what they had originally been commissioned to do. Closed doors were a challenge to him and would be the greatest to this date concerning him. So let me share with you something, you might want to write it down, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28. In this letter to the Corinthian church, Paul's a little ticked off at them. And he even makes mention, he says, you know, I'm talking like a madman as he's sharing these things, but the Holy Spirit wanted them to know. And he wants you and me to know this if you haven't been there recently in the Word of God. He talks about, with far greater labors, in other words, he has worked very, very, very hard for the Lord. Now, he doesn't normally want to tell people that, But here, the Corinthians need to hear it, and maybe there's someone here this morning who needs to hear it too. With far many, far greater labors, far more imprisonments. Anybody been to jail for the Lord Jesus? Me neither. With countless beatings. Any of you ever been beaten up because you're a Christian? Countless beatings. He can't tell us how many. Because he loves the Lord. And he's been sharing the good news. And often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, remembering he's a Jew. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. In other words, he received 200 lashes minus five. He receives 195 lashes. Guessing it's a cat and nine tail over the course of time. But 5 times he went through that. I guess that's why we're told in extra-biblical literature, as I've said before, he had scars from the top of his bald head to the bottoms of his feet. Three times I was beaten with rods, iron rods. Iron rods were used to bruise and to break bones. 3 times he's beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. We saw that, those of us who were together here studying that passage in Acts. 3 times I was shipwrecked. That'll teach him to go on a cruise, right? Wasn't a cruise. A night and a day, I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, he traveled a lot. In dangers from rivers, you imagine that, going through the Taurus Mountains and so forth. Danger from rivers, danger from robbers. Danger from my own people. Danger from Gentiles, non-Jews, as we saw as he was with Barnabas and planning these churches in these Asia Minor cities, in Galatia in particular. Danger in the city. Remember when he and Barnabas were thought to be gods? Danger in the wilderness. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. No tigers. Danger at sea, you know, the pirates. Danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship through many a sleepless night. In hunger and thirst. No Starbucks. Often without food. Paul's a Christian? No food? The church? All kinds of food, right? Often without food, in cold, and exposure. Heat, freezing cold, rain, snow. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Well, he shouldn't be upset there, should he? I mean, everybody in the church is absolutely perfect, right? I mean, besides me, you're all perfect, right? We can hurt our leadership. We need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit has been teaching us today. We need to be very, very much aware of what's going on in our lives and how we're being a blessing to others. That's our goal, to love on others, to make others know we love them. So I hope the Lord has shared something in particular with you individually. There is something for you to do going forth from our worship center this morning, that this coming week, whatever the challenges are that come your way, remember Paul was challenged too, and he had to deal with it, and he did, by getting very, very close to the Lord. But where we leave him right now, he's frustrated. He's frustrated. He wants to get the gospel to the rest of Turkey, Asia Minor. But the Lord has said no. But he perks up because he gets to go to Greece. And over there, Europe is going to hear the gospel for the first time. And you know what? That brings you and me, Gentiles, closer, closer to receiving the gospel ourselves. Because it's more than likely through Europe and all of our ancestry that we have received the good news. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Abba, I thank you that none of us have had to go through the things that you took your son Paul through to get the good news to so many other people. So people, when they came to the end of themselves, their bodies were breaking down. That having received the gospel of your son, they got to go and be with you. But I'm also grateful, Father, that as they received the gospel, these individuals had the joy, absolute pure joy. The warmth that fills a person's heart in watching their neighbors, their family members, people they plowed a field with, worked with, coming to faith in your son. To be able to hug them in the Lord. To be able to grow together in the Lord. When you finally were sending the letters, that they could take those letters and begin to read them over and over and memorize them and enjoy being in your presence, to have their own personal experiences with you. I feel so badly, Father, for those in your church who don't know what it is to have a rich, warm, ever so loving relationship with you, to hear personally through our spiritual ears you speaking to us, you blessing us, you using your word very carefully as you used it last week with me to teach me, to correct me, to rebuke me, to raise me to a level to where I continue to be growing not only in your grace and knowledge, but in righteousness, to grow in that righteousness so that you can use me as a vessel of honor. And use all of your kids as vessels of honor if we will confess and repent and go to those we need to go to and ask them to forgive us. Please, Father, I don't want to be a curse in anybody's life ever. So, the prayer is more for me, but I ask it for my church family, your family, Lord, that we will grow in such a way to be a blessing wherever it is we find ourselves. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.